course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad. Just, living the dream. Ceiling started leaking a little blood earlier, so that was a little weird.
That is a little bit. We're going to talk about the movie Iron Lung in a little bit. Man, just it's disturbing. Just even the thought of some of that.
Sure.
There was definitely some disturbing parts in it that kind of got me crawling a little bit, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we get to that, anybody that follows us on social media knows that we just recently announced that Ike and I, and well, and Kayla and Monica, the entire Listen to the Screams family, will be attending Pensacon this year in Pensacola, Florida, as media guests. Now, that is from February 20th to 22nd. An unbelievable lineup of guests are going to be there. Not just horror related, but pretty much across any pop culture slice that you like, they're there. Huge event. Ike's talked about it in the past. This will be my first year attending, but this will be our first event as members of the media. So we're going to have lots of coverage leading up to the day of, and then coming out of Pensacon. Lots of pictures, videos, maybe some live feeds, all kinds of good stuff. As we are going to be there, we're going to cover the event from the eyes of a horror fan. So I'm super excited about this weekend in Pensacola.
No, absolutely. Sam, I have been before, like you said, and like the last time I went, because I didn't go last year. I don't remember what happened last year, but I was just too busy to go. But I went the year before, and that was pretty great. We went and saw a panel with Skeet Ulrich and Matthew Lillard and Jamie Kennedy, and it was a really cool little meetup for the old screencast and whatnot. But no, I'm very excited this year. It's got a terrific lineup. First year we've ever gotten press passes, so I'm very excited to kind of go in that fashion versus just like a normal just going to go. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. And unfortunately Kayla does work that weekend, so it'll probably be
Uh-oh.
just you and I for at least one of the days. Kayla will probably come with us on Sunday though. So she'll definitely still go because she wants to go, and because they usually have food trucks and all that stuff. So I mean, it's a whole event. I mean, when you walk up, I mean, they got food trucks outside, they got all the signage and all kinds of cool stuff. And then, it's really neat. And the only bad thing though is that it's in the Pensacola, the oh, what is it called? It's the Bay Center, Pensacola Bay Center, and it's a really nice arena for like sports and stuff, but not a whole lot of room for like people to like be vendors and stuff. So that sucks a little bit, but they do fill out the space. I'll tell you that much. It is full to the brim. So I'm excited for you to see it. I think you're going to think it's really cool.
I will definitely. And it's always fun because I've been to a couple events on the press side in North Carolina. So it's always fun because it's a different thing, right? You're working a little, pretty much, or a little bit, but it's fun work, right? And it's going to be, of course, for us, all about the content. So
Yes.
we'll be filming lots of things, hopefully talking to some people. If you're going to be at that event, let us know. We would be more than happy to do a clip with you, take a picture with you, put you on our in our review and coverage of the show. If you're going to be there and you're going to be in a very cool costume, just watch out for us because we're coming for you. We're going to have our picture taken with anybody in a cool costume. That's one of my favorite parts of conventions, is seeing the cosplayers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, but yeah, and we'll be talking about whatever, the panels, the guests, the merchandise, the event in general. And again, but we're going to do it through, at least for this show's purposes, through the eyes of a horror fan. So, looking very much forward to that. Not too long to wait. What, 3 weeks away? Less than 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think the last weekend of November, I think, or not November, February. November was a few months ago.
The 20th through 22nd. So
Yes.
yeah, we're I guess we're just oh we're I guess we're just 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from today.
Oh yeah, no, so it's not the last weekend. It's the second to last weekend.
Yeah,
So not
second to
next
last.
weekend, but the next weekend.
Yeah, I think it's the first full weekend or last full weekend, I believe, right? Because I think the last weekend crosses over into March, unless this is a leap year.
No, it is not a leap year. The
Oh,
next
there you go.
one is 2026, I
Yeah,
think.
there you go. Anyway, it's February 20th to 22nd. That's where we'll be there. If you're in the area or going to be there, let us know on social media. We would love to connect, say hi to any listeners that might be out there. But hopefully we'll get some good coverage, and hopefully we'll meet some new people and make some new listeners. I will be repping with the Listen to the Scream shirts. If you want one of those, just go to all of our links and you can purchase one of those yourself. You would get mad props if you're at the convention with one of our shirts on, and we ran into that. I mean, we might just kneel and bow to you. That would be very cool. I would love to see one of our shirts out in the wild.
Insane.
That would be pretty cool. So, all right. Anyway, again, watch social media for more on that as we build up to that. Again, we're 2 weeks away, so it will start ramping up for us pretty soon as we continue the coverage of the event. Before we get to all the usual festivities here on the show, Ike, did you watch anything else this week besides Iron Lung?
Yeah, so I actually I remember we were kind of talking about it when we watched the In Search of Darkness from the 90s, but I finally got around to watching the Bloody Muscle Bodybuilder in Hell.
Oh yeah, forgot about that.
So it's on Tubi, so I mean that's really cool, and on Plex. Both of those are free services. But no, I went on there and watched it, and it's amazing. Easily one of the best. Like, it's not a spoof movie, obviously, but like one of the best. Like, they took the idea of like the Evil Dead and kind of like threw it into Japanese, and obviously, like he loves the Evil Dead. I mean, there's so many moments where he's like obviously ripping off of that, but in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, even so much as he says groovy, right? And everything. I mean, just down to quotes.
Yep,
Is that, yeah.
he's like there's a part where, and then he gets a shotgun, obviously.
Of
But
course.
he's like groovy, but like he doesn't say it like groovy. He obviously has like an accent, so it's like groovy,
Does he use boomstick? Does he say boomstick?
I don't think so. I was looking out for that one, but that one would have been pretty iconic.
Apparently that's where he drew the line.
Yeah, he's like groovy's cool, but boomstick's a little too on the nose.
Yeah, I guess.
But no, it was really good. It's only an hour and like 2 minutes. So it's kind of a short movie. I mean, all things considered, and
Well, from the bits that they showed in that documentary, though, I feel like they pack a lot into that hour.
they do. It moves pretty quick, which isn't a bad thing. Especially for the fact that it's all, he basically made this by himself, essentially with like two other people. I mean, literally, an hour movie. Given that context, I think it took them a long time to even get it put out. I mean, over 10 years. But no, it was great. I would definitely recommend anybody who loves horror movies, B horror and like Japanese horror, to watch it. Honestly, I will say this. I don't want to say that they did, but like the Ju on the Grudge came out after this movie, and honestly, they took some stuff from this movie. They had to have. I don't know if someone somewhere was, saw this movie or heard about this movie, but there's a lot of similarities in the Grudge. Which came out late 90s, when this was made 95. So I'm not sure how that works, but yeah, no, it's interesting.
Sure again. Let's see, did I watch anything? Yeah, I did. I watched rewatched Strangers and Strangers Chapter 2 in
Oh, I did too.
preparation for our for our next episode, which we'll touch on that in a bit. But otherwise, I don't think I watched anything. Not that I can remember, not horror related at least. So okay then. We were gonna play Stump the Co-host this week, but given that we're kind of a day behind, we're running a little behind. Having to work us in the schedule, we're gonna push Stump the Co-host to next episode. So that just leaves us with taking a break, and when we come back, we will have news, anniversaries, and all that. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, and Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So we actually talked about this a little bit last week, but Silent Night, Deadly Night is now available video on demand. This was something we actually watched not too long ago and had a full review of, so I would check that out in the archives. But we liked it. Pretty decent remake from the original, and I think it's pretty worthy of the Silent Night, Deadly Night fandom. So it's online now, so you can go watch it.
Yeah, we talked about last week. It was actually last week they announced the physical media release.
Okay.
And now it's, which I'm, at some point we probably did cover the date upcoming for video on demand. They usually announce that first. But whatever the case may be, now it's actually out. It's out there. So definitely to me, it's worth a purchase digitally for me. This is I enjoyed this tremendously. And again, I love it and I love the original, but I feel like I can love them both because it's like, this is a, I don't know. It's not a straight remake. It's very inspired, very, you know, obviously has a lot from it, but it does. And we talked about this leading up to it, that this was a movie that really seemed like it could fit bringing, you know, a modern take on it because you could still get that same concept, same feel, same vibe, the same background, but it would feel fresh in a different movie. Just because of the big span and time period, we're talking 40 years between the two. So, and to me, it was right. I think it was, you know, I love it, like the original, but both of them in just different ways because of what they are and their time periods. And
absolutely,
I guess we've spent a lot of time talking about this Christmas horror movie and here lately. But long story short, very good movie. Go buy it on physical media when it comes out. Go buy it video on demand now. Watch it when it hits streaming. Just Rowan Campbell's great. I can't wait to see what he does next. I hope he keeps his feet firmly in the horror field for a while because he's great.
No, absolutely, 100%. And I, like you said, I really hope that they do because, man, just he's really good at it. And same thing with Ruby Modine. I think Ruby Modine is fantastic at it. So definitely hope that they all keep their feet firmly planted in the proverbial sand of horror. So.
That's right. We don't want to share them.
Nope, not at all. So very good.
We got them first. We saw them first. So I don't know about first, but Rowan Campbell always cracks me up every time that episode that he's in is Supernatural.
Yeah,
he cracks me because there's this part where he runs down the hall and then like cuts left down another hall. I don't know what it is. It cracks. He's very good at that subtle comedic physical comedy in those spots. You know, his mannerisms. I love, you know, it was so funny. It makes me laugh every time. And I've seen it 30 times. Just that scene of him running. I don't know what it is. I have a thing for people that run funny though.
I was going to say, I think that's how it is for me with like Norman Reedus when he runs in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Cause he's got this weird, like hunched over, like shamble. Yeah.
Anybody that runs weird in a TV show or movie, it makes me chuckle. I don't know why, what that is. I always pick it up anyway. Weird tangent there. So, okay, let's move on.
It happens. But in other news that is not Christmas related, A24 is reportedly developing a new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie and TV series. So I know we reported on this a while ago that A24 was in the process of obtaining the IP. And I think it's official now that they have the IP. So I think it's really at this point, they're just in the preliminary stages of actually putting pen to paper and getting something taken care of. But absolutely, I think it's great that somebody has the right to this again. I think the last time we got a movie was like during COVID. They did the Texas Chainsaw movie on Netflix, which was good. It was good. But I think that obviously it was made for streaming. So I would love to see a them go full bore, get a good prequel series, because I know that's where they're going to go with it. A24 is notorious for sort of wanting to go that route. So I would venture to guess we're probably going to get like a prequel series that kind of shows how Bubba and all the characters come to be. And then we'll probably eventually get a full-fledged Texas Chainsaw movie, or vice versa, get the movie first and get the prequel series next. But
Well,
I mean,
I think their efforts are behind the series first. I think there's already starting to be, production names attached to it, producer names and everything. So I think the plan is for the series first. That's what their efforts are now. But they have said, yeah, there will be another movie. It's on the table in the future. We have talked about these franchises, how well they will work for series, how it's worked for a few other Texas Chainsaw Massacre will so perfectly work for a series format.
Yes.
And it will so perfectly work for a prequel. I mean, there's so much you could do there. Because when you watch the original movie, or the second, even, because I love the second, I have that guilty pleasure for that second one. But when you watch those, these characters are fully formed. They're there, right?
Yeah.
You don't really get, you don't really get backstory. I mean, you kind of get the gist of, they're messed up, there's some things happening in this family. But whatever the case may be, I think they say something about the series will show, because apparently their family was very predominant in that area, right? And I think they
Yeah.
do mention that in some of the movies. And that's it's going to explore that and the stuff, and I think it'll work great. This is, I think, a franchise just perfectly set up for a prequel series kind of thing. And it doesn't matter to me, though. If it's Texas Chainsaw, I'm gonna eat it up no matter what it is.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, I know for a fact that I like it. And like you said, in the prior movies, they do mention that the what's their name, their last name, it's the crud, I always forget their last name. It's like
Yeah, what the hell is it? Why can I not think of that?
oh man, it'll come to the Sawyer family.
Oh, yeah.
The Sawyer family, they do mention that in prior, like, years prior to like the depression. It wasn't a depression, but it was something similar, right? They the area went through like economic hardship. But no, yeah, they do say that, hey, like, we, for lack of a better phrase, we used to be like the hot shit around here. We used to be at the top of the totem pole, but obviously over time, and with the depression and economic hardship, the meat plant closing or whatever backstory they give them, right, they're now in turbulent times. So eating people, obviously turbulent times.
Well, and when you have, right, if you explore them being in power in this area or whatever, controlling of the area,
Yeah.
that also, right, when you have that power, it enables you to keep your family secrets quiet.
True.
So, that could explain how they got into this and how they got by with it. Because, if you have the, people in political power, people in legal power, people in law enforcement power that's in your family, there's, you can keep that all hush hush and quiet and cover it up, and no one will know the difference. But I'm excited. Bring it on. The
Yeah.
sooner the better. But maybe we can get this series quicker than we got Crystal Lake.
I was gonna say, I think A24 has definitely a little more what do they call firepower in terms
I
of
hope.
turnaround. So
Well, they're supposedly done filming Crystal Lake, and we still don't know a date when it's coming out. It boggles
that's
my
insane.
mind that I don't know what are they going to do? Have it completely done and just sometime, hey, surprise, it's coming next week. I don't understand, because you would think they'd want to market the hell out of this by, releasing. I don't know. I'm hoping they've got an idea in mind for it. I know this is a side tangent, but hopefully they got something in mind, and this is just not a new problem in this whole thing. But I don't know.
Sure.
I'm very anxious for Crystal Lake.
No, me too. I'm just, I think part of the anxiety for that is that, like, we've waited for so long, and like it feels like at any moment they're just going to tear it away from us. So,
Yeah, which is going to be extraordinarily hard now, knowing that there's material filmed and there's
yes.
something there. That pisses me off. when you have something in the back, and I'm looking at, the Batgirl movie. That's what I'm looking at here,
Right.
You got it in the can. I don't care if it doesn't fit your canon anymore. I don't care if you're going in a different direction. I get it. You can still put it out there. You can still put it on the streaming service, and you can just, it can be a standalone, what it is. You've already got it in the can done. So what the, what? But I hate when they do stuff like that and they sit on things and whatever. Anyway,
Yeah,
move
no,
on.
absolutely. No, I 100%. But very good. So we're going to move on now to some unfortunate news that we came through here. But Catherine O'Hara, known for her role, of course, in Home Alone and Beetlejuice, and many more, passed away on January 30th at the age of 71. Obviously, anytime that somebody famous passes away, we all sort of develop that parasocial relationship with a lot of these people. And I definitely think Catherine O'Hara had a very special place in a lot of people's hearts. I mean, Home Alone's a holiday classic. Beetlejuice is also a horror classic as well. So definitely, that was a big one though when that came out. And it's, she was just in Beetlejuice as well. So, she was older, but man, it always sucks to hear that, when people go. And I somebody actually posted this, and it's kind of sad, but Kevin McAllister is officially an orphan because both her and the dad are both passed away. They actually passed away at the same age. So just the guy was a little bit older, I think. And I think he passed away maybe 5, 10 years ago. So
It's just a, oh, this one seemed to, I don't know, seemed to kind of come out of nowhere because
it did.
she's still out there a lot. So we're, I mean, I just, recently finished watching her, she was in Last of Us, the Last of Us series, and
Oh, yeah.
she had a great part in that, in the, especially like the whatever the second season there or whatever season they're on.
Yeah.
And and she's done a lot of TV and stuff here lately, and known for Schitt's Creek and all that stuff too, along these other, but it's just, I don't know. It's like, it's not like she, some actors have to step away from acting and you don't hear about them for a while. And then when it comes out, it's like, oh yeah, she was still out there working a lot and stuff. And it just, I don't know. It really takes you back, especially like when you're literally watching their work still and new stuff and still enjoying what they're doing. And it's I don't know. It sucks, but she left us a hell of a body of work to enjoy.
That, yeah, I was gonna say they definitely still has a lot of work for people to enjoy. And I'm sure she probably saw some projects that are still in the works as well. So
Probably. But again, I mean, like you said, Home Alone and Beetlejuice, those are two top level iconic movies. They will never, those will never go away. Or those movies are will help be held in high esteem for generation after generation after generation. So it's kind of surreal to think, someone's a part of that or gets to do that. And there she is in both.
yeah, absolutely. But all right, we'll move on now to some other stuff here to talk about. We have some upcoming birthdays. We have two. We have first things first, February 8th, 1997. We have Catherine Newton, of course, known for her role in Supernatural, Lisa Frankenstein, and the upcoming Ready or Not 2. Catherine Frank or Catherine Newton. Ugh. Catherine Newton starting to build a little bit of a repertoire in
She
the
is.
horror genre. And I would assume that they're going to continue to do it because, I mean, they're obviously getting roles, and I think starring next to Samara Weaving in Ready or Not will be really fun to see.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see. It's gonna be a blast.
Well, I loved Ready or Not the
Me
first one,
too.
so
Me too.
I'm glad that they finally got around to making the sequel. I know it had been a hot minute since we'd heard anything about the sequel. I feel like I remember hearing a couple of years ago that they were starting the process, so I'm glad that they followed through. We're getting that movie, I think, later this month, actually, or is it next month? I can't remember.
It's soon. No, I think it's in March, but it's not too far off.
No.
I know there's been a trailer came out not too long ago, and it looks great. But Catherine Newton is just very quickly. She's one of my favorite modern actors out there. I mean, and yeah, she's done some other things. She was in that one, whatever it's called, that one vampire movie. What was it? I don't remember what it's called with
Oh, Abigail.
Abigail. Yeah, and some other things. But then of course, I mean, she was in whatever Ant-Man and Wasp, and in those movies and other stuff too. But she's very quickly becoming a very big attraction in Hollywood. But she is, she's definitely one of my favorite course, I a little biased because of her background is Supernatural. That makes me love her all the more. But we Lisa Frankenstein, we have a review of that in the archives. I enjoyed that.
Oh,
And again, I'm sure Ready or Not 2 will be one we're going to review when it comes up. So looking forward to it. Yeah, anything she does is it piques my curiosity.
yeah. Absolutely. And that's what I was gonna say. I mean, it's one of those weird things where it's like there are certain actors that I see and I'm like, wow, I'd love to see them in more horror movies. And she's one of the ones that I saw, like say Ant-Man and Wasp and Supernatural, and you're like, yeah, I'd love to see them spread their wings and do more horror movies, and I'm glad to hear it. So, but very good. Happy birthday to Catherine, and we'll keep an eye out for Ready or Not 2 here soon. But our other birthday, of course, is February 10th, 1906. We have Lon Chaney Jr., the Wolfman, from the Wolfman, I should say. And I've seen this movie many, many years ago, so I do vaguely remember him. Yeah, 1906. That's crazy. That was 120 years ago.
And of course, I mean, yeah, of course, he's most known for playing Larry Tabb in the Wolfman and the Wolfman, but he's also, I mean, he played Frankenstein, he played all kinds of other things in other Universal monster movies. I think he's one of the only guys who've played the majority, because I think he also played Dracula in the sequels, and so he's played multiple characters. And of course, his dad was Lon Chaney, the man of a thousand faces or whatever, the makeup guy that did Phantom of the Opera and stuff like that, and did was revolutionized so much of the makeup, and costume stuff back in then. So, yeah, Lon Chaney Jr. He died younger than he should have. I think I hope I'm not speaking. I think he had a drinking problem,
Oh, wow.
and stuff, and but he. He did a lot of stuff, especially within Universal Horror. But yeah, I mean, the Wolfman, the original Wolfman, just that's such a great movie, and for the time period, such good effects, and he was great in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those iconic, roles from, that time period when horror was still so new and fresh. So definitely a fun time, and obviously he's long past, but like you mentioned, but yeah. But happy birthday, Lon, and we're gonna now jump to some movie anniversaries. About said movie birthdays, but movie anniversaries. I don't know why I always say that.
Potato, potato.
Potato, anniversary, birthday, some close enough. But February 7th of 2025, we have Hard Eyes. That movie is in the review in the archives. Generally positive reviews for this one as well. I remember we both enjoyed it. It was good. It had the fellow that is in Scream,
Mason Goody.
Mason Gooding. Good Lord, I
Yep.
always remember his last name, but I never remember his first name. But yes, Mason Gooding. He was great in it. I believe the female lead as well is from something else we've seen, but I also can't remember who they are. But Hard Eyes was great. It was a fun little holiday slasher. In the same vein of thought of like My Bloody Valentine, so it was very enjoyable. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I believe they've recently announced that there will be a sequel.
Yeah,
And
I heard that.
I don't know where that stands in the vein, but they have put word out there, so that's exciting, right? We love our holiday horror. Valentine's is a kind of an underutilized holiday in the grand scheme of things, right? But yeah, I thought it was good. I'm all about doing more holiday horror. Bring it on. And Mason, I do like Mason Goody, so.
Absolutely. But make sure to check out our full review in the archives. Like I said, we really dove into it and talked about it, and we made this comparisons with Black My Bloody Valentine, etc. So make sure to check that out. But very good. We're gonna jump now to actually we well not yet, but we actually talked about this movie last week, I think. I think somebody else had a birthday last week that was in this movie or was involved in this movie.
Yeah, it was a was it last week or we it, maybe because it's John Carpenter directed, we had
Yeah.
John Carpenter not too long. I can't remember it, whatever the case may be, but yeah.
Yep. So that is February 8th of 1980, The Fog. Yeah, The
The
Fog's
Fog.
great. The
Yeah, oh
Fog.
yeah.
The Fog's great. And it's been remade too, and the remake's not horrible, but the OG is very, very good. I highly
Yes.
recommend anybody who's never seen it. It's definitely up there in terms of like the iconic 80s movies, and very good, extremely fun movie. I think for me, the fog, what always stood out to me is that we had the fog and then we had the mist. So I always get the two mixed up in my head sometimes, but I have to remember they're two very different movies.
Yeah, what? Oh, I think this came up because we were talking about Silent Hill.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Because we were questioning, why is it that, why do they always portray, why's the fog always got to be creepy?
Yeah.
And no, the fog is great. And I think to me it's in that starter kit of movies if you want to explore, particularly 80s horror. You know, if you're new, whatever, new and wanting some groundwork, it's in that starter kit. You got to watch it. So
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree. Gotta make the starter kit. We should that should be something we talk about sometime. Our starter kits for
there
horror.
you go. Yeah.
That could be a fun
We
concept.
could break that down. So many, how many, certain number of movies from each decade that
Yeah, I
are
think so.
the must views that, you have to watch. Yeah. That'd be a trick, but,
That would be.
sounds
But
interesting. Yeah. We'll
we'll
do
have
that.
to
We'll help out those newbies sometime. We'll
I was gonna say we'll have to do look at that sometime. That'd be interesting.
Dave
But
and Ike's horror orientation.
that's right. But all right. We have two more birthdays. One of these we literally just talked about, and the
Oh
other
yeah.
one,
We
actually
mentioned
both of
two.
them we just too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So February 9th, 2024, we have Lisa Frankenstein, which we just talked about 5 minutes ago, with Catherine Newton. Yeah, Lisa Frankenstein's great. It is an interpretation of the Frankenstein mythos, and we did do the full review of this way back when, last year. No, 2 years ago now. So yeah, I mean, definitely check it out. I've not watched this movie since then, but it was an interesting movie. It was creepy. It had a little bit of that sort of uncanniness to it that was a little interesting. And obviously, it has the classic tropes of Frankenstein and the oh, he's alive. So yeah, love it. Love Catherine Newton in it.
The
I think
Sprouse,
the one of the
which Sprouse,
Sprouse twins is in
I
it
don't
too, which is
remember
fun.
which one, but yeah, he stole the show. He was great. But
Yeah,
yeah, love this
he really
movie.
was. He did a really good job.
Yeah, we just talked about it just a second ago. Love this movie. Full review in the archives. Don't really need to say much more right now.
No, so don't need to get too far deep into that. But our last movie anniversary is February 11th of 1981, the OG My Bloody Valentine. My Bloody Valentine had to walk before Hard Eyes Could Run. And
Okay, there you go.
that came off the top of my head. I don't know where that came from, but no, I mean it's true though. I mean, you have to think, if it were not for the original, Valentine's Day themed horror movie, we would not have the classic that we have now. So
And I,
very good.
yeah, we just talked about, right, the starter kit or however we were putting it of certain movie. This, I think there would be an argument to be made for My Bloody Valentine being considered for one of those that from the 80s that you got to watch. It's so good.
No, absolutely. I 100% agree. The 80s were a fun time. So, I mean, you have all these great movies that
That's
were
right.
released, and Halloween horror is also super popular. And so, obviously, this is up there for us. So, but very good. All right. Let's see here. We have that's it for our anniversaries and whatnot. So, we will now jump to our upcoming releases. We talked about it just a smidge, but The Stranger Chapter 3 comes to theaters on February 6th. And it is described as, in the series' most brutal chapter, Maya collides with the masked killers and finds the only way out of a nightmare is in. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. It's very interesting because because we talked about The Strangers a lot. Strangers Chapter 1 was sort of the required precursor movie, to kind of get everybody introduced into the already existing sort of lore of the Strangers universe. The Strangers Chapter 2 was sort of the, again, also required bridging point to kind of get them from that first film to where they wanted to ultimately be, which I do think is Chapter 3. I think Chapter 3 is going to be good and fun, and it's going to be exciting. But I'm very curious how they're going to play it out. Who are the killers? We know one of the killers, but we don't know who the other two are. And are there more? But like you said in our little description here, The only way out is in. In the trailer for 3, it is shown that Maya is joining forces of some sort with the killers. To what degree or to what ends that agreement is to be seen. But yeah, I'm very curious to see where this movie goes. I'm just very, very, very curious.
Yeah, me too. I liked both the new ones. Like you said, the first one I like, but it's kind of, you had to make it to reestablish. Second one was great. I think they really took the foundation and ran with it. And so yeah, it makes me very excited to see what they do next. And I was very nervous about how do you add to a movie, expand upon a movie where the best part of it is the not knowing, right? The unknown, the quote unquote the strangers, that part of it. And so far they've done well. And even though they've given us some looks behind, the killer, when the killer is and everything else, it's not overdoing it so much that it's not really humanizing them. It's actually showing that how evil they are so far. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they do in chapter 3. Very much looking for Monica and I already have our ticket spot for this weekend to go see it. She's excited. She loves the Stranger movies. And yeah, I'm psyched. I'm pumped. Cannot wait. Can't wait to watch it. Can't wait to talk about it.
No, absolutely same. So, but we'll get back to you guys when we get that reviewed, and we'll let you know. But our last upcoming release is Minnie Mouse is getting the public domain horror treatment. Minnie's Midnight Massacre is coming on February 24th and is described as, after being trapped for 2 decades in a mouse-infested storm shelter following a cruel bullying prank, a now full-grown Minnie is finally unleashed. I like the premise. It kind of gives that very curious vibe to it. So I'm very interested to see where they go with that. Yeah, I'm always down for some public domain horror, but public domain horror is a mixed bag sometimes. So it's
Yes.
kind of like a 50-50 on whether or not this is going to be one of those like weird ones where it's like, okay, where the hell did they get this idea? Or if it's going to be one of those that falls in line with like Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, you know? So we'll see. We'll see how this goes, but I'm excited.
Yeah, and this one I like because if by the description, which is no, it's not much, you get the vibe that this is just gonna be a fucked up person. And I like that part, right? I mean, literally, you have me if you mouse infested storm shelter, that right there is terrifying alone. And 2 decades that you think about, just think about. I mean, you probably is this weird dichotomy of you become friends with the rats or the mice because they're the only thing there. But if you're there 2 decades, I mean, you're probably gonna have to eat those things too. So it's this weird, I don't know. That I mean, it is very twisted. It's a very I like that. It doesn't need to be overly convoluted, right? Just that will fuck someone up. And it makes sense that they would come out of there and put on a mouse mask and want to kill people. So yeah, it's I hope it's just I really just hope it's just a fun, pretty basic, simple slasher. Just person comes out screwed up and is looking for some revenge. And that's what I want. Don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep it simple. So, but we will let you know when we eventually get to watch this. This might be something we'll have to do like a mini review of. But yeah, very excited for that. Very excited for Strangers. So we got some good upcoming releases for you guys. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of Iron Lung.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Okay, and welcome to Listen to the Screams. We've officially climbed into the quote-unquote submarine. We are about to get lower down into the blood ocean, and let's see what happens from there. Iron Lung, before I get to that, it was written and directed by Mark Fishbach, which what is his He's a YouTuber. What does he have a different name on YouTube?
Yeah, he goes by Markiplier on
There you
YouTube.
go. There you go. That's right. Based on the video game by David Zemanski, starring Mark Fishback, Carolyn Kaplan, and others. Not too many others, but there are a few others. Unreal. This movie grossed 17,800,000 domestically on open weekend. Good for number two. Only behind fellow horror movie Send Help, the Sam Raimi directed Send Help at number one. I love that. I love that there's two horror movies sitting on top. And then we got Strangers next week. That's just gonna, oh, love it. Let's just freaking just rack up that top 10.
Yeah.
And I watched this movie and I came out of it and my initial thought was I didn't like it. Right. You and I went and watched it together. I know I razzed you and said, oh, it was horrible. That there wasn't a lot of truth. It wasn't horrible. I didn't, I was just being overly dramatic in this
Right.
stupid ass fucking way. Number one, regardless of anything else, this movie and the practical effects just were unbelievable and made me uncomfortable. In the way it should, not saying in a bad way, but in the way that it
Right.
should make you uncomfortable. The amount, I don't think it's obviously given anything else because it's all been, the amount of blood in this movie is unreal. And the way they built, it's almost like the blood and the blood ocean, quote unquote, is a character in the movie. And the way it builds to more and more and more, and it was wild. I'll give you credit, man. He did a great job. I not being an actual actor per se, a traditional actor, he did a great job. And I think that's all the testament to the passion for the project and the title. This game, he loved this game. He's been trying to make this one of me, obviously, right? That passion came through in a great way.
Yeah.
The movie had a lot of, it had a lot of stuff, right? A lot of character development things, and where there was a lot of conflicts and people, kind of redeeming themselves, and people in positions of quote unquote following orders or supposed to be following orders, but then were conflicted by said orders and blindly following. But maybe I'm thinking about it wrong too. I don't know. To me, there was a lot of religious connotations in this movie too.
Yes.
That's not bad. That's not bad, right? A bad thing. That's I enjoy that part. Sometimes if you have no background with it at first watch, you maybe do come out of it in the immediate feeling a little confused, a little bit about what's happening. I have discovered after giving it some time and stewing on it a little bit, things make a little more sense. This is actually a movie that I really want to see again now, to see on a second viewing if. I feel like this is one of those movies you can't just watch once. And, I mean, unless you have a huge background with this and absolutely know what's going on. If you're coming into this blind like I was, I feel like you have to see it at least a second time to fully absorb. But the movie was definitely creepy. This thing played on all my worst fears. My ass would not. My ass would not have been in this thing. If I was in his position, I'd be like, yeah, just leave me in my cell. I don't care. Whatever. The cell would have been bad enough for me, but my claustrophobia. But no, you ain't putting me in this thing. I got uneasy just watching this thing and knowing he was welded in there with no like easy way in or out. I was feeling very confined just watching this thing. Much less when the perils with some of the unknown things in the blood ocean, and then some of the perils with just the blood ocean itself. Made it
Right.
even worse. And oh, there was some unsettling parts for me, and I think will be unsettling for other people. I think the character itself, I don't even know what his character, what was it, Vincent? Was it Vincent? Can't remember his name now.
What was his name?
I don't
Oh,
know.
crap.
Whatever his name was. I think he had a great arc in this, right? A great We'll call it a redemption arc, but it's not really in a true fashion because I don't want to give anything away, but I don't feel like he really needed to be redeemed. And per se, it was a misunderstood, you know what I mean? But he felt he needed to. But anyway, I think it was definitely kind of a redemption arc, and it's hard to put the needs of others or the needs of many ahead of yourself. when that, you know, if you, you know, most of us don't get put in that position. It's a weird position, I would guess, to be in. And he's put in a position like that, and he does the right thing. And you know, I like it. But yeah, I thought it was, you know, again, I didn't know coming out of it. Part of it might have been because I really was uncomfortable with a lot of the scenes in it, because it really struck nerves with me. But yeah, I think, you know, I liked it. I enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to watching it again. You know, the movie didn't run too long where it lost you. I don't think it's one of those movies you have to know the background of in retrospect per se, because you don't. But I'm a guess it would help maybe a little bit understanding on the first watch through. But I don't know, I'm kind of rambling here, because again, it was one of those movies that took me on a roller coaster ride. Not only the movie itself, but just then the after effect of, did I like it? Did I not like it? How much did I like it? It was a wild journey. It made me feel all sorts of stuff, which is good. That's what a movie should do. So I'll shut up for a while. Ike, tell us what you thought of Iron Lung.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I think the big thing is that going into this, like I had a pretty good like base of like understanding in terms of like, sorry, my cat's going crazy. So if you hear meowing, it's because she's
She
going nuts.
apparently has very strong feelings about Iron Lung.
Apparently, I don't know if she loved it or hated it, but no. So I had a pretty good like knowledge of the game series because I'd watched a lot of it. And like I love Markiplier. I've been watching Markiplier for well over 10 years. He's been doing the YouTube thing since I think 2012, maybe 2013. I could be wrong, but I know for sure since high school I've been watching him, which was more than 10 years ago. So, no, I and you know, so getting to watch this, you know, it kind of comes full circle. And a little fun fact, and I was talking to our mutual friend who he goes by Salsa Shark. He kind of mentioned to me because Mark did another horror series on Prime called Edge of Sleep, and it's really good. It's like a short series, limited series type deal, and it's a super good, super entertaining. But basically, Prime told him like, "Hey, unless Edge of Sleep does really good, we're not going to put out your movie." So that was basically the deal. He had to do Edge of Sleep. It had to do extremely well, had to be like in the upper 70 percentile for so many weeks. And if they didn't, they were not going to put it out. And Edge of Sleep did really good, just not as good as they wanted it to do. So originally, this movie was essentially dead in the water. It was already going to be self-funded. Markiplier funded it all from his own pocket. And then he ended up having to do all the distribution by himself as well because this company didn't want to help him. So to me, it is insane that a movie that took, you know, just under $3 million to make out of his own pocket made that money back on Thursday previews and then more than quadrupled their budget literally over a few days. And this is not to even say when it goes on video on demand or if it goes on streaming. You know, obviously he's going to make some buku bucks on that too. So it is insane that like we got the movie we did, and it was essentially done all in house. They didn't have a production company. It was all, you know, internal. The people that he has edit his YouTube videos, which are obviously very well edited. These are professional editors. These are the same people that edited the movie, you know. I will say that the movie's very long. It's over 2 hours long. I do like that it was long because I do think that obviously
Wait,
the
was it
movie,
really?
yeah, it was over 2 hours long. It's 2 hours and let me look,
That's
two hours and 5 minutes.
it didn't feel like it. I see. I thought it was shorter than that. I didn't look at the time running time. I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like a 2-hour movie. It really didn't.
No, I liked it, but I know some people don't like it. And normally Dave does not like long movies. But
Nope.
like he said, this movie didn't feel long. This movie felt very much like a very slow, unnerved build to this like explosive sort of like situation. And like he said, this movie really plays on the idea of like confinement. right? Basically trading one prison for another. And I mean, the idea of being in a submarine that you have to be welded into, right? Because that's in the games. You're welded in the submarine to kind of find these points of interest under this blood ocean. And you also have this larger cosmic sort of deity-like thing that, like, this whole quiet rapture, right? Where, like, basically everyone's gone. And so it's this really unnerving sense that, like, not only are you watching this guy go into a blood ocean on a celestial body, which is like some random moon, right? Mm-hmm. Not only are you seeing that, but he's welded into this thing. These are some of the only people left in existence, right? Like there's only a few hundred people left, if that. So it's this really weird, like daunting feeling that not only are we watching someone essentially be put into their personal coffin, but we're also watching one of the last human beings in the universe be put into their coffin. So it's an insane, insane concept. The game, it is weird because for people who've never watched the game or played the game almost has no story to it. It was a very quickly made game that lore was added into it after the fact. There was literally an update to the game that added some story beats. But essentially, this game started out with no story. And even with the updates, there still is very little story. So Mark took this concept that was essentially nothing and turned it into this like largely expanded idea, which is also crazy. But it's also great that the game creator was in on it. You know what I mean? A lot of game creators possibly wouldn't want to do that. But he was all in. He was in the movie. I think he had a cameo of some sort. But, I mean, outside of my personal love for Markiplier, my personal love for the game and everything else, the movie was just fun. And it had a lot of great elements to it. The acting was fun. It was very, very, very close set. There was only so many people in it, right? Mostly just Mark. But it was very weird. It was a very full circle moment to see, like, hey, you know, he's never made a movie before. This is his first ever movie. And it exploded like this. My one drawback is I do think that it would have helped to have like a professional editor maybe take a look at the film and sort of neaten some things up. Some of the audio mixing was a little wonky at parts, which again can definitely be explained by the fact that this was done all in-house. This wasn't sent somewhere to do it professionally. Specifically, there were times where Mark's voice was really quiet and the sound effects were really loud, so it's kind of hard to hear him. But other than that, the movie was great. I had no complaints, and that's really just logistics stuff, right? That's stuff that can be easily fixed in, you know, post-production once they've taken it out of the theaters and they get it ready for streaming or ready for a physical media release or whatever. You know, that's stuff that can be fixed. It's not unfixable. So that's my only hiccup with it. But it really, at the end of the day, it's not even that deep. Just something I noticed. But no, I'll stop rambling now. But no, I loved it. Fantastic. 10 out of 10. I can't wait to watch it again for sure.
Yeah. And I believe I saw that. I don't think it's been announced. I don't think he has a physical media or streaming deals in place yet.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He's now in this unique position of independently making this film, scraping to get a release, got a release, knocked it out of the park, made a shit ton of money, and now all of a sudden, this is very Terrifier-like. Now there's a lot of power in his court because people are going to want it now. And that's very, very cool. And I imagine a physical release, some of the special features that could be on that. But all right then, let's rate this thing again. I liked it. I'm not gonna go too overboard in my rating again because I do agree with your editing things, right? I did notice some of that. I remember some of that. And there were a couple. It's not major thing, but there were a couple cuts that were didn't feel, you know, felt a little off here and there. And it just, I think you're right. It needed someone with some experience, not to necessarily do the work per se, but to give it over and maybe just polish it up a little and, you know, and smooth out and, you know, but, you know, it is what it is. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe we'll get it cleaned up. I don't know. But anyway, so I think I would give it, again, I did enjoy it, but I think I'm going to give it 3.5. out of five. Not gonna get too crazy with my rating, but it was definitely a movie that I'm looking forward to seeing again. And I think everybody should go see it. So 3.5 out of 5 for me. Ike, what are you giving it?
Yeah, you know, I knew going into this I was going to be biased, and I was thinking to myself, how do I not be biased? But I said, fuck it, I don't care, I'm going to be biased. This gets a 4.5 out of 5 out of for me. So here's the thing: very few times in life have I ever seen a project start, kind of start, get delayed, do this, go back, go forward, but then ultimately end up to where we are. And this is one of those times, you know what I mean? I've been following Markiplier's career for years. I have seen this game be played numerous times by different people on YouTube and over the internet. And it is so satisfying to see something like this happen, especially when we live in a world that, like, almost like, I hate to say it, but like 99% of the time, movies like this don't get made, you know? Like, most of the time, movies like this do not get made. Or if they get made, they get thrown into some random production company who wants to do whatever the hell it is that they want to do. They don't want to actually do, you know, they don't want to do right by the creators. They just want to make money. But this is one of those few times where, like, something that would have not never gotten made 15 years ago got made because this guy had a passion for it. He wanted to make it, he knew he could do it. So I got to give it a 4.5 out of 5 purely for the effort that was put into this alone.
All right. Well, you go. It's your opinion. You're entitled to it.
That's right.
So, definitely a must-see movie. I know we've got a lot ahead of the road for the year, but I venture to guess when we discuss, top movies of the year, this will at least be in that discussion.
Oh yeah.
I don't, whether it makes it or not, we'll see. Because again, we've got a lot of big movies coming out. But there you have it. Again, like we said earlier, next episode we'll be reviewing the movie The Strangers, Chapter 3. We would like to say thank you to all to our wives. I sort of say all of our wives. All of our wives. No, we would like to say thank you to our wives and then all of the listeners and followers for your support and everything you do. It's thanks for that support. Thanks for that encouragement and everything else. Due to that's why we are going to get to go to Pensacon and cover the event. So we are excited about that. And thank you guys for helping us get to this as we climb the ladder and continue to grow. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media, especially now, like we said, when you're going to see the build-up and the coverage of the event coming up. There's going to be lots of content coming to our social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or the handle Listen, the number 2, and Screams. Before we close this out, anything you want to add?
Oh man. I was to say, speaking of like video game movies, we kind of saw a trailer for it, but there's another movie based
Oh,
off of
yeah.
coming out called Mortuary Assistant,
Looks
which is
great.
yeah, it looks good. Honestly, again, this is pretty similar to, you know, Iron Lung in terms of iconicness on the internet. The Mortuary Assistant is really interesting. It's a pretty intricate video game that like for the technology and for how they made it, it's honestly really cool. But I'm very excited to see like the end result of that. I think that I want to say it comes out at the end of this month too, or beginning of next or something like that. But yeah,
Well,
I'm excited for that one too.
there were some good trailers.
Oh
And
yeah.
so yeah, it was very good. So all right then, there you go. Like we said, lots of great horror coming this year. We say it every year, but every year just seems to get a little better. And hey, we get to go around and brag. We had the top two movies this weekend. Even over a certain documentary that just makes my skin crawl. I'm not going to go into it too much, but ha ha, nanny nanny boo boo. It was number 3. My Monica jokingly said, "Oh, look, we're at the top 3 spots on the chart." No matter where you stand, that's a funny joke.
Sure.
But so, all right then. Anyway, good time to be a horror fan. So go check out Iron Lung. Go check out Send Help. I still want to go see Send Help. I really want to go see that. I'm going to see if I can't squeeze in a view of that too. So anyway, until next episode, when we will be reviewing The Strangers Chapter 3, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.